London, I met an old man. He kept a bar called the Horses and Tram. My parents were Irish, they loved that dear land. The Cockney, he smiled and he shook my old hand. My heart is in Ireland, it's there I long to be. Our hills and our valleys are calling to me. Oh, side cafe, a young girl came smiling and to me did say, well, my folks are from Ireland, me dad, he hopes one day when he leaves the mines, sure we'll go back to stay. My heart is in Ireland, it's there I long to be. Hills and our valleys are calling to me. Well, born here in this land, my heart is in Ireland. The land of the old folk is calling to me. Then I went through the Midlands, through each city. I roamed and I drank and I sang in a pub they call the Crown. With the Birmingham Irish, we sang songs of home. My heart is in Ireland, it's there I long to be. Glasgow on the Clyde, I met with some lads, said Celtic's our side. All our folks are from Ireland, the island of the green. The country we love, but a place we've not seen. My heart is in Ireland, it's there I long to be. Our hills and our valleys are calling to me. Well, born here in this land, my heart is in Ireland. The land of the old folk is calling to me.
Yes, indeed, my heart is in Ireland. I'm sure that's where a lot of people's hearts were in the early hours of Monday morning watching the All-Ireland final. And what a game it was, one of the great All-Ireland finals. But alas, no joy for Mayo, beaten again, literally in the 76th minute of, or 74th minute of 76 minutes of the game. The game went into injury time, and probably a draw would have been a fair result like the first game last year. Mayo had a chance to win. With 2 minutes into injury time, the ball came off the upright, and then Dublin sub Dermot Connolly was fouled, and a difficult enough shot from about 45 metres out was slotted over the crossbar by Barney Rock's son. And then with about a minute to go, unfortunately, the Mayo team goalkeeper kicked the ball out and wasn't able to find one of his old players, and the game was over. Heartbreak again for Mayo. You have to feel sorry. I really wanted Mayo to win this year. I think every other person in Ireland did as well. So great day for Kerry Miners. They had, in fact, a huge win over Derry. And there's a young star that's coming through that's only 17, and he's probably one of the best Gaelic footballers that Kerry has ever produced. And there's even talks that he'll be rung up by some agents for Australian rules players. Welcome along. You're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you each week with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And you're listening to us in Auckland on a Wednesday night, Saturday night in Wellington, Capital Coast Radio in Christchurch. Greetings to people listening on planetaudio.org.nz around New Zealand and around the globe. The big news in Ireland this week is the start yesterday of the National Ploughing Championships, which is held just outside Tullamore in County Offaly. And a beautiful fine day yesterday to start the show. And I listened to some of the interviews on RT Radio. A lot of the radio stations, well, most of them are all broadcasting out of there for the next 3 days. But woke up this morning to the news that the son of a former National Ploughing Championship, Martin Keogh Jr., son of Martin Keogh Sr., who was due to start in the Ploughing Championships today, was killed in a tragic farming accident in Folkes Mills in Wexford yesterday afternoon. And he leaves behind a wife and three young children. So the headline on the Irish Independent says, grief as Ploughing Champion loses his life in a farm tragedy. It's just every year there's just a number of people that die tragically in farm accidents. And there's always a big awareness leading into the summer months. But not sure exactly what happened. There was something involved in a molasses tank that maybe this man drowned. But very, very sad. And I'm sure there won't be too much joy by any of the people. 100,000 people expected again today at the Ploughing Championship in Offaly. All right, we'll take a bit of music and continue on.
As the sun was setting o'er the bright meadows of Chevalier, a rebel hand set the heather blazing and brought the neighbors from far and near. Then Father Murphy from old Kilcarmack spurred up the rocks with the warning cry. Armagh, he cried, for I've come to lead you, for Ireland's freedom we'll fight or die. Led us on against the coming soldiers and the cowardly yeomen we put to flight. 'Twas at the Harrow the boys of Wexford showed Brookie's regiment how men could fight. George of England, search every kingdom where breeds a slave, for Father Murphy of County Wexford sweeps o'er the land like a mighty wave. At Finney Hill or the Pleasance Lady, our heroes vainly stood back to back, and the oaths at Tullow took Father Murphy and burned him. body upon a rack. God grant you glory, brave Father Murphy, and open heaven to all your men. The calls that called you may call in another fight for the green again.
Yes, that's Paddy Riley there singing all about Boule of Vogue, and I suppose it's a nice song to play in memory of Martin Keogh Jr., who died tragically yesterday in a farm accident in Wexford. He's dead, a famous Wexford national ploughing champion, and he was at the ploughing championships in Screggan in Offaly outside Tullamore yesterday when he heard the news that his son died tragically. So very, very sad news indeed. And the ploughing championship, over 100,000 people expected each day, started yesterday and runs through till Thursday. It's like building a, you know, a complete city. It's probably bigger than field days we have here in Hamilton. And the woman, Anna Mae McHugh, she's been running it now for over 50 years, I think. And she's 83 and still going strong. And it gets bigger and bigger every year. And thanks reasonable yesterday. I don't think it's going to be great today and tomorrow. But the dark clouds are just in one part of Ireland over the last few days, and that's in Mayo. Huge crowds in Croke Park on Sunday. In fact, I'd say Mayo outnumbered the Dub supporters by probably nearly 2-1. Well, there was certainly, they would have invested a lot of money to get tickets, and it was a beautiful day. And even though Dublin were odds-on favourites, everybody felt this was Mayo's year. And Mayo got off to a terrible start, like they've done in every All-Ireland final they've ever been in, with Dublin scoring a goal inside the first 2 minutes. And but they fought back and were leading by a point at half-time. But Dublin played poorly in the first half, and they made some changes at half-time. And then Mayo came out. And Dublin came out and literally scored an equalising point from the first move of the game. The turning point in the game for a lot of people was in the 49th, 50th minute, when a Dublin player was given a second yellow card, and he was automatically going to be sent off. But before the referee, you know, everybody knew he made the bad tackle, but Donald Vaughan, one of the star Mayo players, he went in and decided he was going to deal with him, and he tackled him very heavily and knocked him to the ground, and probably looked worse than what it was. But the referee had just couldn't basically but make the decision to send him off, because once you strike a player, you're automatically sent off. So Mayo went from having a free that they could have scored when the sides were level and having an extra man to having the free turned against them and the two players sent off. And Dublin probably played much better with 14 men than Mayo did. And yet, going into injury time with the 70 minutes up, Mayo, Killian O'Connor had a free on the left-hand side of the pitch, kicking into Hill 16. Kicked that, and you were leading by a point with, well, there was 6 minutes of injury time, but Dublin would have to come back. The ball bounced off the upright, and Mayo players weren't alert to it. If they were, they could have probably buried it in the back of the net. And Dublin went down the field, and within a few minutes got a point. And, you know, that was the game. And throughout the game, Mayo had I think they had 8 wides to Dublin, had only had 5, and they had certainly a very good goal chance. So heartbreak and sorrow for the Mayo fans. This is their 11th final to lose between finals and replays. And a huge crowd turned out to greet them in Castlebar on Monday, but nothing compared to what it would have been like if Mayo had won. So that's the end of the men's championship. It's the turn of Dublin Mayo again in the women this weekend, and let's hope that Cora Staunton, who's probably the best Gaelic footballer ever Ireland has produced, can lead her team to victory over Dublin. And let's hope the as many fans, Mayo fans in the Dublin area, and indeed from Mayo, can travel up again to make one last effort before the end of the season. Right, we'll come back and run through some of the other sport, other news headlines from Ireland in the next, after this song, which is Gypsy Fair.
Thank you. is strongly, strongly tempted by the call of the wild.
Yes, that's Hothouse Flowers there, a nice song called Gypsy Fair, and you're listening to Ireland Calling. Well, on the political front, the politicians get back to work this week after the summer holidays. Fine Gael had their think-in last week. It was down in Kilkenny. A couple of jokes and after dinner speaking engagements by the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar didn't go down that well. I think he was taking pots at his former leader, Enda Kenny, and Simon Coveney. And this week it's the turn of Fianna Fáil there, gathered down in Longford at the Longford Arms Hotel, I think, for 3 days this week. And I heard some of them being interviewed last night, and they're basically saying that the government is doing nothing to help with homelessness and to help with anything. But of course, you know, if you put the thinking cap on, part of the reason we're in the big issues today in Ireland, and same here in New Zealand, is, you know, decision taken in the boom times. And certainly in Ireland, you know, Fianna Fáil were in power along with the PDs and the Greens for basically three terms when the boom was on. And that's when the brakes should have been put on in Linden, and we wouldn't have had the big bailout. So at the moment, the Fine Gael coalition government are supported by a number of independents. They're propped up by Fianna Fáil, who agreed to support them in three budgets. The second budget is coming up. Whether or not they'll be there to do a third budget will depend on the opinion polls, and it looks like that Fianna Fáil are gaining traction. So as soon as they think that they can have, you know, get back into power on their own or as leading partner, they'll be pulling the plug or pulling the wool blanket from under the Fianna Gael-led coalition government. They said they won't work with Sinn Féin, whether it'll be led by Gerry Adams or anybody else. And Fine Gael said they won't work with them either. They don't like their policies. So lots of work ahead. Economy is going very well, but the homelessness issue and the health issues and the hospital waiting lists, especially leading into winter, are something that needs to be tackled head on. So Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has been told to forget about all the nice poses and pictures and things that he'd been doing. He was smiling brightly at Croke Park the other day as the Seán Maguire was presented Stephen Cluxton and interviewed afterwards, and he'll be part of Ireland's delegation going to London to make the presentation next week, end of next week, for the Rugby World Cup. They're pitching against South Africa and France, and already Liam Neeson and Bono from U2, they've joined in the bid along with Brian O'Driscoll and a number of other ex-international rugby players, and the Taoiseach is going over. So a joint effort between North and South, and no doubt they'll be putting their best foot forward and hope that Ireland can win the rights to host the World Cup in 2023, with the final and two big semi-finals to be played in Croke Park. Well, speaking of Croke Park in Dublin, for all the Dubs out there, here you are.
Raised on songs and stories, heroes of renown, the passing tales and glories that once was Dublin town. The hallowed halls and houses, the haunting children's rhymes, that once was Dublin city in the rare old times. Ring a ring a rosy, as the light declines, I remember Dublin city in the rare old times. My name, it is Sean Dempsey, as Dublin as could be. Born hard and late in Pimlico, in a house that ceased to be. By trade I was a cooper, lost out to redundancy. Like my house that fell to progress, my trade a memory. And I courted Peggy Dignam, as pretty as you please, a Rogan child of Mary, from the rebel liberties. I lost her to a student chap, with skin as black as coal, when he took her off to Birmingham. She took away my soul. Ring a rosy, as the light declines, I remember Dublin city in the rare old times. Have made me bitter, the gargles dims me brain, 'cause Dublin keeps on changing and nothing seems the same. The pillar and the met have gone, the rail long since pulled down, as the grey unyielding concrete makes a city of my town. Ring a rosy, as the light declines, I remember Dublin city in the rare old times. Fare thee well,
sweets on a lithy, I can no longer stay. And watch the new glass cages that spring up along the quay. My mind's too full of memories, too old to hear new chimes. I'm a part of what was Dublin in the rare alleys. Ring-a-ring-a-rosie, as the light declines, I remember Dublin city in the rare old times. Ring-a-ring-a-rosie, as the light declines, I remember Dublin city in the rare old times. To break the chain, I raise the flag in England, prepare to fight or die. Far away from Mayo, happy need an Irish guy. Me home to Mayo, across the Irish Sea. Dear old Mayo, where once I roamed so free, take me home to Mayo, there let my body lie. Home at last in Mayo, beneath an Irish sky, my body cold and hungry. Jail I lie, for the loving of my country, on hunger strike I'll die. I have but one last longing, and I'll pray you'll not deny, that's to bury me in Mayo, beneath an Irish sky. Dear old Mayo, where once I roamed so free, take me home to Mayo, there let my body lie. Home at last in Mayo, beneath an Irish sky.
Yes, well, thousands went home to Mayo and on to Dublin for the All-Ireland final. So there we had their Dublin City Ramblers with two songs. One, Dublin in the Rare Old Times, which they've been singing Dublin for the last few days, and they're Take Me Home to Mayo. And I'm sure all the Mayo fans that travelled home will be heading back to various parts of the world, including New Zealand, drowned in their sorrows and thinking, so close, and yet we didn't make it. But Mayo will bounce back and they've got great supporters. But let's hope they're able to get a flight out of Ireland, because we've got issues here with the fuel out of Auckland, which will hopefully rectify itself in the next few days. But Ryanair, one of the biggest European airlines, has major issues. It's basically got to cancel the flight plans over the next 6 weeks of 400,000 passengers as a result of a botch up in holiday rosters, and pilots taking leave and pilots moving to other airlines, including Norwegian Air, who's set up a new base in Ireland, and it's got cheap transatlantic flights. And Ryanair announced on last week that it was having issues over people going rostered to take holidays, and they wouldn't have enough staff to man flights, so they were going to cancel a number of flights. But Michael O'Leary came out on Monday, put his hands up. He's normally takes news, good or bad, about Ryanair with a pinch of salt, but this time he basically said, we've made a mess, and he said the buck stops with me. And he's lost in the region of 60 million euro in the space of 3 days, but he says, I'm not worried about the share price. He said, I'm more worried about getting our passengers moving from A to B as quickly and as possible. They've tried to recruit more staff, cabin staff, as well as pilots, and they're having no problem hiring captains of planes, but they need first officers. And when they do employ a new pilot and first officer, it takes 3 months to go through the training programs that they have, because they've got an impeccable record when it comes to safety, and they don't do things by half on that front. But of course, they pride themselves on the airline that gives you more, but certainly taking a battering, whether or not they'll be able to get through this crisis without the company feeling the impact of it for a number of years. But one story in the Independent today says O'Leary has avoided unrest so far, but an opportunistic revolt could change all that. All right, let's move on with another piece of music here. Yes, you're listening to Ireland Calling, broadcasting here on a Wednesday night on the Planet FM network in Auckland. Our delayed broadcast going out, Access Radio on Saturday night, Capity Coast Radio and Plains FM in Christchurch. And greetings to people listening on planetaudio.org.nz around New Zealand and indeed around the world. And my special thanks to the Hugh Green Group for their continued support of Ireland Calling. Well, other stories that are dominating the news in Ireland, of course, the recent tragedies in the Caribbean. A lot of coverage, and as we speak tonight, there is huge relief efforts underway in Mexico City, where at least 200 people have been killed in a terrible earthquake today. The Myanmar issue is obviously dominating news in Ireland because the Myanmar leader, the former Suu Kyi, I'm trying to pronounce her second name there, but she was given the freedom of Dublin a few years ago in 2012 and lauded by the current president, Michael D. Higgins, former president Mary Robinson and Bono, and people are looking and wondering what's happening now with all this terrible tragedy that's unfolding in Myanmar, with all these people, Muslims, being forced to leave the country and go to Bangladesh, and many of them killed even before they're leaving their village. Of course, I'm telling you, the Myanmar leader, Aung San Suu Kyi, and she has said she's doing her best to try to alleviate the situation, but it doesn't seem to be enough. And for a woman that certainly was applauded from all over the globe for the great work she was doing to try to, you know, rid Burma of its terrible army regime, what's happened in the last 2 weeks is just unbelievable. Just looking at a headline here in the business, I see Smith's Toys. I think they started off in Claremorris, but they're now based in Galway, and it says Smith's Toys sees UK profits soar 70%. Sales of Star Wars, Lego, Power Rangers and Hatchimals last year helped family-owned Irish toy seller Smith's to an almost double pre-tax profits in its UK operations to £10 million. So plenty of money in the toy business there. And I mentioned last week about George Hook getting into hot water over comments he made about rape on his News Talk programme. News Talk bowed to pressure on Friday, and they've stood him down, and it looks like that he won't be coming back. I'm sure he had an exit package because some of their big advertisers have pulled their sponsorship of his programme and indeed other programmes on News Talk in Ireland over the last week. Here we go, Dolores Keane.
Where of all the
Yes, that finished a bit quicker. That was Dolores Cain there. And where have all the flowers gone? And we've gone nowhere. We're still here broadcasting until 11 o'clock tonight in Auckland. So we've got about 16 more minutes to go. And just looking back through some of the other stories, terrible in the last, in the Tanna direction, two gruesome murders. They reckon there's a gang trying to completely destroy another gang, and there's one or two people really worried now. And this is all over controlling drug patches. And the young man that was killed the other night, he was well known to the Gardaí, and this came 6 days after another man, a friend of his, was killed last week. And they reckon a lot of these murders are being ordered from guys on the inside. Shocking. And I see where a young mother and three children escaped serious injury, but mother and one of her youngest children, after a kind of a petrol bomb was thrown into her flat in Dublin on Monday night. So some terrible things happening out there in Dublin. There's a huge problem, as I mentioned earlier, with the homelessness, and especially leading into the winter now. You know, it's going to be a huge problem. There's just not enough houses, not enough houses for people that have money to pay for them. But the government have to do something, and the time for talking is finished, and they've got to try to get people homes over their head, and not just rooms in hotels. That's not suitable. So, as I said, all the politicians come back this next week after the holidays. There's the budget in October, which will be, you know, another important budget. The figures overall are looking good. Unemployment is down. But as I said, there's still a lot of issues to be dealt with, especially wait lists for operations in hospitals, and the number of people last year that were left sitting on trolleys in all the major hospitals all around the country. President Michael D. Higgins and his wife are pictured in many of the papers today at the Ploughing Championships down in Scraggan in Offaly. And the other big news in front, I'll just read you the headlines from the front of the Irish Times today. Trump threatens to totally destroy it. That's a big issue for all of us. Cabinet agrees to Irish water referendum. 70,000 is the estimated number of households which may face fines under new excessive water consumption levels. And President's delay over second term poses challenges for potential rivals. President Michael D. Higgins' decision to delay announcing whether he'll run for a second term until next year has created an organisational challenge for potential candidates. Informed sources suggested that Mr. Higgins, Higgins' plan may be to wait for potential rivals to publicly declare if they want to stand against him before showing his own hand. And speaking of the president, he's due to come on a state visit to Australia and New Zealand in the next month. And as soon as I get all the details, I'll let you know. All right, let's move on again with a couple of more years. Ronnie Drew.
Years on you, baby, that's all. I've had more chances to fly, more places to fall. It's not that I'm wiser, it's just that I've spent more time with my back to the wall. Picked up a couple more years on you, baby, that's all.
You've walked a couple more roads than me, baby, that's all.
Somewhere and found it. it was nowhere at all.
You've picked up a couple more years on me, baby, that's all.
Ronnie Drew there, and I think he was with Eleanor Shanley and singing A Couple of More Years. We've got a couple of more minutes with you, about eight to be precise, before the end of another edition of Ireland Calling, which is brought to you each week with the support of the Hugh Green Group. Don't forget your clocks go forward this weekend, so there'll be a 12 hours time difference between here and Ireland for this week. Their clocks don't go back to winter time until about the third week of October. It might be the end of October. Here we are, you know, almost near the end of September. The year is going by very quickly. A nice stretch in the days here in Auckland, as indeed around the rest of the country. Well, there's stories and stories and pages of stories about the Plough Championship in all the papers today, and I see there's a lot of discussions about farming and tax and the way they farm the land here in New Zealand leading up to the election at the weekend. And I see here where a number of farmers interviewed says making money out of farming is very difficult these days, and there's a nice picture of a family from Ballintubber in County Roscommon. They were at the Plough Championships yesterday, but they had to get up early, 4 o'clock, milk the cows before they set off. And he's the farmer here, who's a former carpenter. He said that John Carley, he gets up at 5:30 most mornings, and he's still working nearly at 9 o'clock at night. Thankfully, this year, their dairy farming was a better year than last year. But he said there's fluctuations in dairy prices, and you know, there's still a lot of crop farmers to get their crops in, and especially the month of August has been very wet, especially in the west of Ireland, and September better. So we know last year was a disastrous year for crop farmers in the west of Ireland, and they'll be hoping that they can get at least some decent weather to get their crops in before the end of the season. Just going back to that tragedy where Martin Keogh, who's 33, died yesterday in a farming accident. Just followed on From the death of a young man last week in Monaghan. He went to save his brother. They had a mushroom farm, and his brother got trapped where there was fumes coming in, and he managed to free him but got trapped himself. And by the time the rescue services got to him, he had died. So 20 lives, including one child, have died on farming accidents in Ireland this year. I know there's huge campaigns at the start of the year trying to encourage people to be careful, but there's always a number of tragedies, and the latest one yesterday, Martin Keogh killed when something happened with a molasses tank that he was dealing with in his farm in Wexford, the father of three young children. If you missed the start of the programme, the big news in Ireland at the weekend was the fact that Dublin have won three All-Ireland senior football titles in a row, winning by the barest margin, 1 point over Mayo. And a cruel end to the season for Mayo. They've played the most championship matches this year in Ireland, and what a celebration it would have been. Of course, talk of the curse. I saw something on TV news about it the other night. This goes back to 1951, the last time Mayo won, when folklore says that the team were on its way back home to Ballina, and they were going through Foxford on the evening of a funeral, and according to folklore, they didn't pay due respect to the family of the man whose body was being brought to the church. From the altar, a priest was stated to say that as long as there's any member of the team alive, Mayo will never win an All-Ireland final again. Well, there's still two members, one I think down in Kerry and one in America, and you know, Mayo have been in 11 finals between replays since 1985 or 1989, and they've lost what do you call it, every one of them. So, you know, the fact that Dublin won last year by a point in the replay, and won by a point again this year with the bounce of a ball, it could have been Mayo having won two in a row and heading for a three in a row next year. But alas, they've got to pick the pieces up. Stephen Rochford will decide at the end of October whether he'll stay on as coach next year. He's got two young children and a new job. He said he signed on for a 3-year contract, and of course all of these players, they do all of the training and train as hard as professional sports people for no return. They get some expenses and might get a holiday out of this at the end of the year, but by and large they train very hard and give up a lot of their time, and it's a big sacrifice to be made. But when you win an All-Ireland medal, you forget about all the sacrifices, but when you lose, it just gets harder and harder. Well, that's about it. Hopefully you've enjoyed the programme. Thanks again to the Hugh Green Group, and thank you for tuning in. I'll be back again next week with another edition of Ireland Calling. I'll leave you tonight with a little medley of tunes here. Good night, goodbye, and God bless.